If I need to make any apology this morning, I must apologize that I may not be able to complete the message this morning. I may have to stop after a couple of points. But I trust that you are truly blessed by hearing all those testimonies this morning. We had our annual congregational meeting last night. And today we have received many individuals into our church membership. We also brought our little babies into the sacred covenantal relationship with the Lord. As we see these progresses and further developments of our church, we cannot but think of ways to improve our spiritual life, spiritual journey, and church ministries for the glory of God. I have been pondering on this particular subject for a very long time, many months or so, and I chose a topic that has been in my heart for a very long time. It is about our reasonable service for the Lord, as Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Many years ago, I found a small booklet written, or rather once preached by Peter Masters, who is the pastor of a Metropolitan Tabernacle Church in London, UK. This small booklet does have many solid and nutritious spiritual ingredients for today's Christians and Christian churches. What he says in that message is something that I have been thinking about for a while, and I must say that he is able to articulate the points far better than I can do. Thus, I feel like to repeat the main points made in his message this morning for you and me, for all of us. It must be timely for us to review this particular subject right after our annual congregational meeting, and also this subject is one of many subjects I desire to share with you before my pastoral office is terminated. Hope a Bible Presbyterian Church is literally a Bible-believing fundamental church. As our members, we desire to build an apostolic church, just like New Testament church, as much as we can. The more we desire to see it happen in our church, the more we need to look into this particular subject we are going to consider this morning. How much do we resemble the congregations of the New Testament? If we compare Hope Church congregation, Hope Church with the New Testament congregations in the Bible, especially in the book of Acts, how much resemblances can we find? Peter Masters quite boldly says, let me quote from him, in quote, "We often fall a long way short of the standard of the Bible. It is a sad fact that there are many Bible-believing Christians who do not engage in any real work for the Lord. They loyally attend the services. They give a fairly generous financial support, but they do very little. They appear to be little more than comfortable observers. But what does this have in common with the picture of church participation preserved for us in the Bible? Evangelicals generally have drifted a long way from the concept of every member being personally active in some avenues of service for the Lord." End of quote. As I have read the Bible over the years, I could not find any indication that the Lord intended church members to be like a passersby or onlookers, just watching others and then leaving the bunch of work, most of the work, chunk of work with other people. Some church members are like perpetual students, and thus they are ever learning but never able. They know the importance of the Bible study and even the Bible doctrines, but they have never employed what they have known and what they have learned into actions. What we must know and learn is that the Bible rebukes, the Lord rebukes head knowledge not matched by committed service for the Lord. There is no single reference in the Bible that we ought to be hearers, not doers. But to the contrary, the Bible rebukes the believers who are hearers but not doers. There are people praying for revivals. There are many conferences and special meetings to encourage the believers to experience revivals. They offer many exhortations to experience spiritual revivals, including more Bible knowledge and more prayers. However, I have hardly heard any message or exhortation saying that active and diligent service is an integral part of Christian revivals. Many evangelical churches feel at ease as long as they know that they believe the right things. Peter Munster drops a huge weight on every believer when he says, in quote, "It is a tragic fact that many believers organize their lives as though the sole calling of Christians is to enjoy hearing the Word of God expounded, to live godly lives, and to look after their families, and that's it. But we can never be wholly scriptural until we take seriously the working words of the New Testament. Every Bible-believing church must try to bring about the total involvement of all fit and able members in the glad service of the Lord. This is not only our duty, but an essential part of our worship also." End of quote. In other words, until we bring ourselves to the reasonable service for the Lord, our worship is incomplete. Just enjoying the messages expounded, enjoying the Christian fellowship, and giving generously for financial contributions and so on, but doing nothing else, no contribution whatsoever, that is truly unscriptural. That's what Peter Munster is talking about. Thus, as we have a new beginning after we had our annual congregational meeting last night, so we must consider and reconsider to become more committed Christians by embracing the biblical concept of working church, and every member will be involved in some way in the work and witness of our church. There are so many things we must do, both spiritual and practical. We ought to shoulder our share of responsibility by participating in the evangelism, visiting the sick, the shut-ins, and the discouraged, or by taking a role in one of many spheres of services, from kitchen work, clean-up helps, driving the church van, or looking after the newcomers. I think Hope Church is such a rich church, rich in resources, rich in human resources, and we have everything except active services. When we desire to have active members who could make contributions to the services within the ministry of Hope Church, we cannot find enough number of people. What's wrong with us? There has been a call from different people that transportation ministry is important and needed. It is because there are some people who desire to come to church, especially young ones, but there is no transportation. And it was announced, out of 170 plus people, one deacon said, "I can take my time to drive the van around," and I got only one volunteer for that particular ministry. And we also know that probably between 10 and 15% of our regular worshipers here are active servants, ministers for the ministry, and most of us are sitting and enjoying the comforts of the pews and the messages and fellowship. We got to serve. We got to be laboring Christians. The New Testament churches were working churches. Therefore, we ought to be working and laboring Christians. The Bible does not exclude anyone from Christian services. Whether we are young or old, men or women, all of us are exhorted to serve. If you are not in active duty in services whatsoever, I hope that this message will speak to your hearts, stir you up, and do something for the Lord. for his church, for his ministry. Building up this local church body of believers is extremely important, not for our present generation, but for the continuing generation. I'm going to speak about various biblical terms demonstrating that Christian service is both our privilege and responsibility. It's our duty. Let me begin with the laboring terms in the Bible. First of all, the most commonly used Greek word for Christian service in the epistles is kopos, which means a striking, beating, or cutting. It calls to mind a laborer chopping something down, seeding the harvest, or doing some other heavy task. It always indicates laborious toil, resulting in the laborer becoming weary and weakened. That much hard work is related, is implied within the word, Greek word for labor, when we are doing our labors for the Lord. It will make us tired, and it will make us weakened and weary. That, to that extent, our labor is required according to the New Testament. This word, according to William Gouge, signifies to be pressed, namely with pains. It implies a diligent and hard labor. It will make a man take any pains, endure any toil, be it at any cost, end of quote. This word is used in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. I'm sure that you know this verse. If you want to read it together, you can take your Bible and turn it to 1 Corinthians 15, 58. That particular word, labor, work with pain to make us really exhausted and become weakened and weary. Press down with work. That word is used in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Let us read the verse together. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. This verse is a promise of God that when we are serving the Lord, whatever we do for Him is not going to be in vain. However, if there is any condition attached to it, in fact, it is found from the word labor, because second half of the verse says, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and that word labor is not a simple, simple work. Actually, it is referring to toilsome work. If we look into this verse, we must notice that Paul is talking not about just the modest level of Christian service, but about intensive and tiring service. He exhorts the believers to abound in the work of the Lord. Simon Peter used the same word in the verb form in Luke chapter 5, verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When he was using the word toiled, that is coming from labor in the verb form. And you can imagine that a fisherman's job is not easy, and fisherman's toilsome, hard work, even dangerous work at night is implied in this word. John 4:6 says, Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus was therefore being wearied with his journey. The word wearied with journey, wearied, that word is labor. Jesus was extremely tired and became weary. And our Master, Son of God, was working the work of the Father, and he became weary and extremely tired. John 4:38 says, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The word describes the heavy work of plowing. Ephesians 4:28 also gives us an example of labor, a work of a manual laborer. With this background of the word labor, we could see the strenuous nature of biblical service for the Lord. Unfortunately today, the meaning and force of this work has been lost in the hearts of evangelical Christians. They think that as long as they make right confession of faith verbally, that's the end of Christian service. No. That is not apparent in the scriptures. Somehow, evangelical Christians have forgotten that the second person of the triune God said he did not come to this world to be ministered, but to minister. The Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, came to this world to minister, not to be ministered in particular. And I hope that it will speak to your hearts today. And I hope that you will be determined not to be ministered, but to minister. It is because that's the attitude the Son of God had. We should be able to see that Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, tells us about the promise of God for laboring Christians. What they are doing will not be in vain, which gives them meaningful and purposeful labors. This promise is useless and meaningless to those who do not labor in the work of God. Our costly, tiring, taxing labor will not be in vain in the Lord. The laborers are blessed by the promise of God. There are further exhortations about Christian service. Paul uses very strong descriptions of Christian labor. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, he said, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." The metaphor is from a farmer's daily labor, daily activities. I'm a city boy, and so I do not understand the farming work. But my father-in-law was a farmer. So before I married my wife, I wanted to make a good impression upon my future father-in-law. So I visited him in the countryside, and he went to the field, so I followed him. And whenever he was trying to do something, I volunteered for the work. "Oh, don't worry, I'll take care of it." And I was trying to work really hard, but all of my works were wrong. And it was so tiring, difficult work. Farmer's work, labor is included. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3. "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and the labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Thessalonian believers toiled together, labored together for souls in such a way that Paul calls them examples or patterns to other churches in verses 7 and 8. Could our church be viewed this way? Could my participation be so warmly commended? Concerning our labors and services, Hebrews 6 verse 10 offers us both encouragements and challenges. 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." God will never lose sight of our strenuous efforts in his service and will both bless and reward us according to our labors, our work. Our labor or service for the name of God is also shown through our ministry or service to the saints. If you look at verse 10, Hebrews chapter 6, it gives you a lot of lessons about Christian service. God is not unrighteous to forget your work. You know, oftentimes we say, "We have done this and we have done that for the Lord, but God is not fair. Look at me, what I'm experiencing, and so on." But here, the author of the book of Hebrews says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor. He remembers. And then he said, "Which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." In other words, our service to the Lord is also proven, demonstrated in our service to his people, to other people, to other men, to the saints. our labor or service for the name of the Lord is shown through our ministry to other saints. Then what kind of services have we been doing to the people of God for His name's sake? How have you been serving, ministering other fellow believers? Hebrews chapter 6 verses 11 and 12 say this, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." This passage speaks to all believers by saying, every one of you do show the same diligence in verse 11. The word "show" in this verse means demonstrate or prove. In other words, I'm serving, I'm ministering, lip service, lip confession is not enough. Prove it. Demonstrate it. Show it. That's what the author of the book of Hebrews is talking about. Prove your service. It will effectively remove the false service or lip service. Zealous service is not just for leaders, but for all Christians. One word describing the ones who do not labor in the service of God's church is, according to this passage, none other than the word slothful. Verse 12 says, "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So if we are not laboriously serving the Lord and serving and ministering the fellow saints, then we are slothful. Slothful. How many of us, though respected members of our church, would fall under that description? May the Lord stir our hearts to yield our energies to His work. And I'm just going to share one more point for today. The striving, contending terms in the Bible. Maybe for the sake of our time and the succeeding, I think, the continuing programs, I think I'd better end my message this morning. Now, but let us remember that we are exalted, we are commanded, we are required to faithfully serving the Lord and ministering to other people. Are we going to be slothful Christians, or are we going to be working Christians? How many times we pray to the Lord that He will help us not to be just hearers of God's word, but doers. But have we ever actively tried to practice what we have been praying for? And it is my heart's desire that all of us will be able to say, "Lord, we have been trying not to be slothful, but rather we want it to be actively serving You and ministering to Your people." I hope that will be our confession at the end of our lives. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we are thankful and grateful for Your mercies and grace upon us, Lord. Dear Father, thank You for privileges to serve You and minister to Your people. Stir our hearts up, Lord, so that truly our lives will be able to produce the fruits of diligent services for the name of our God by ministering to other saints. Lord, bless our church to be a working church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.